Welcome to the podcast, Move Forth with Grace. We will be reading the whole Bible in the year 2024. This is such a perfect way to get into God's Word each day and to develop your own relationship with God our Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. I am your host, Angela, and want to first of all say that I'm not an expert in theology or church history or a minister, and I never will claim to be. I am a wife and mother who has been reborn and want to be of service to God in gratitude for calling me back home. Welcome to the podcast. The Bible that I will be reading from is the one-year Bible. It is a New Living Translation, and you can find one at www.tyndale.com. This episode is brought to you by the Move Forth brand. It encompasses freedom, health, and God's grace. We are created in God's image perfectly and fearfully and wonderfully. There is nothing that we can do or need to do to earn His grace. He simply gives it to us. I am certified in health and life coaching, but no longer practice. However, I have health tips and resources, products that I love and use, homeschool tips and merchandise available on my website, and that is www.move-forth.com. One of my favorite products on my website and that I use each day are stem cell activation patches. Stem cell therapy can be very costly and can produce results that are short-lived, which is why these patches are so brilliant, and they're not considered to be stem cell therapy. They actually activate our own body's production of stem cells and support our health and well-being, all while optimizing our immune system. You can check those out on my website as well. www.move-forth.com. Thank you for being here. Thank you for becoming less like you and more like Jesus. May you move forth with grace today. All right, well, today is day 101. We'll be reading Joshua 3:1 through 4:24, Luke 14:7 through 35, Psalm 80:1 through 19, and Proverbs 12:27 through 28. Let's go ahead and begin with our prayer today. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, in your word, and we just pray for your guidance and wisdom today and each day. We say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua 3:1 through 4:24. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, "Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, "Lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river." And so they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there." So Joshua told the Israelites, "Come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall." So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan, carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen. one from each of the tribes as well. One from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. The priests who were carrying the ark stood in the middle of the river until all the Lord's commands that Moses had given to Joshua were carried out. Meanwhile, the people hurried across the riverbed, and when everyone was safely on the other side, the priests crossed over with the ark of the Lord as the people watched. The armed warriors from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh led the Israelites across the Jordan, just as Moses had directed. These armed men, about 40,000 strong, were ready for battle, and the Lord was with them as they crossed over the plains to the plains of Jericho. That day, the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites, and for the rest of his life, they revered him as much as they revered Moses. The Lord had said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the riverbed. So Joshua gave the command. As soon as the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came up out of the riverbed, and their feet were on high ground, the water of the Jordan returned and overflowed its banks as before. The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever. Luke 14:7-35. When Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat. Then you will be embarrassed, and you will have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then, when your host sees you, he will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. One said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, If you want to be my disciple, you must by comparison hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, "There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it." Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Psalm 80, 1 through 19. For the choir director, a psalm of Asaph, to be sung to the tune Lilies of the Covenant. Please listen, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph's descendants like a flock. O God, enthroned above the cherubim, display your radiant glory to Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Show us your mighty power. Come to rescue us. Turn us again for yourself, O God. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved. O Lord God of heaven's armies, how long will you be angry with our prayers? You have fed us with sorrow and made us drink tears by the bucketful. You have made us the scorn of neighboring nations. Our enemies treat us as a joke. Turn us again to yourself, O God of heaven's armies. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved. You brought us from Egypt like a grapevine. You drove away the pagan nations and transplanted us into your land. You cleared the ground for us, and we took root and filled the land. Our shade covered the mountains. Our branches covered the mighty cedars. We spread our branches west to the Mediterranean Sea. Our shoots spread east to the Euphrates River. But now, why have you broken down our walls so that all who pass by may steal our fruit? The wild boar from the forest devours it, and the wild animals feed on it. Come back, we beg you, O God of heaven's armies. Look down from heaven and see our plight. Take care of this grapevine that you yourself have planted, this son you have raised for yourself. For we are chopped up and burned by our enemies. May they perish at the sight of your frown. Strengthen the man you love, the son of your choice. Then we will never abandon you again. Revive us so we can call on your name once more. Turn us again to yourself, O Lord, God of heaven's armies. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved. Proverbs 12, 27 through 28. Lazy people don't even cook the game they catch, but the diligent make use of everything they find. The way of the godly leads to life. That path does not lead to death. And that concludes our reading time for today. Let's see what we have over in the companion today. All right. In Joshua 1, 1 through 5, what qualifications did Joshua have to become the leader of Israel? 1, God appointed him in Numbers 27, 18 through 23. And 2, he was one of the only two living eyewitnesses to the Egyptian plagues and the Exodus from Egypt. 3, he was Moses' personal aide for 40 years. 4, of the 12 spies, only he and Caleb showed complete confidence that God would help them conquer the land. I think he is more than qualified. Yes, yes. Okay, Joshua 2, 4 through 5. Was Rahab justified in lying to save the lives of the spies? Although the Bible does not speak negatively about her lie, it is clear that lying is sin. In Hebrews 11, 31, however, Rahab is commended for her faith in God. Her lie is not mentioned. Several explanations have been offered. 1, God forgave Rahab's lie because of her faith. 2, Rahab was simply deceiving the enemy, a normal and acceptable practice in wartime. 3, Because Rahab was not a Jew, she could not be held responsible for keeping the moral standards set forth in God's law. 4, Rahab broke a lesser principle, telling the truth, to uphold a higher principle, protecting God's people. Over in Luke 14:16-24, what is the meaning of the parable of the great feast? In ancient days, it was customary to send two invitations to a party, the first to announce the event, the second to tell the guests that everything was ready. The guests, in Jesus' story, insulted the host by making excuses when he issued the second invitation. In Israel's history, God's first invitation came from Moses and the prophets. The second came from his son. The religious leaders accepted the first invitation. They believed that God had called them to be his people, but they insulted God by refusing to accept his son. Thus, as the master in the story sent his servant into the streets to invite the needy to his banquet, so God sent his son to the whole world of needy people to tell them that God's kingdom had arrived and was ready for them. Okay, we're going to go back to Exodus today with our psalm. So in Exodus 4:22, is the, quote, son referred to in Psalm 80:15 and 17, the Son of God? This is probably not the Messiah, but Israel, whom God calls elsewhere his firstborn son. The psalmist is making a plea that God would restore his mercy to Israel, the people he chose to bring his message into the world. And I just want to double check in my study Bible really quickly about our reading in Joshua today, because the 12 stones are just a neat part of the story. So let me see here if I can find anything that might offer us today. I had the page and then I didn't. All right, let's see. Okay, so they were asked to do their purification ceremony before crossing. Okay. He parted the waters of the Red Sea to let the people out of Egypt. And here he parted the Jordan River to let them enter Canaan. These miracles showed Israel that God keeps his promises, God's presence among his people, and his faithfulness to them made the entire journey from Egypt to the Promised Land possible. He was with them at the end of their wanderings, just as he had been with them at the beginning. It did mention in our verse today that they crossed over with overflowing banks, and God chose this time when the river was at its highest, it was the springtime, to demonstrate his power, parting the waters so that the entire nation could cross on dry ground. It had been many years since Israel had witnessed God's miracle of parting the Red Sea, and the younger people had only heard about it. So witnessing this miracle would have been a great encouragement that God was still with them. Some say that God used a natural occurrence, such as a landslide, to stop the waters of the Jordan. Others say he did it by a direct act. In either case, God showed his great power by working a miracle of timing and location to allow his people to cross the river on dry ground. This testimony of God's supernatural power served to build the Israelites' hope in God and to give them a reputation among their enemies, who greatly outnumbered them. Okay, and the 12 stones. After the people safely crossed the river, what would be next? Conquering the land? Not yet. First, God directed them to build a memorial from 12 stones drawn from the river by 12 men, one from each tribe. This may seem like an insignificant step in their mission of conquering the land, but God did not want his people to plunge into their task without first reflecting upon all he had done for them up to this point, as well as their need for him to be with them for their future challenges. They needed to pause to focus on him and remember who was guiding them. As you are busy doing your God-given tasks, set aside quiet moments to build your own memorials to God's power. Too much activity may shift your focus away from him. So just the act of creating this memorial of 12 stones gave them that pause, the time to reflect. And there's also a wonderful company that I love, and it's actually called 12 Stones Art. They have just lovely little things that you can set about 12 stone art. And they're handcrafted, made of marble in the USA, tumbled marble. And they just have verses or words from verses on them that you can set about your house. I'm looking at one right now that says peace on earth, and that's from Luke 2:14. So go and check them out if you'd like to. It's a great, it's just a lovely company. Let's go ahead and begin with our prayer today. Father, thank you so very much for everything that you provide for us, for your promises that you give to us, your faithful promises, for the love that you give to us without expecting anything in return. Father, we just pray that we can understand your love and that we can understand human love, that they are different. And we just pray that we can, that your love can flow through us. You gave us that gift through the Holy Spirit when Jesus died and ascended into heaven. And we just pray that we can set aside our emotions and desires and thoughts and just ourselves. We pray that we can set ourselves aside and that you can love through us. And we just thank you for just giving us the time to reflect on our lives, for giving us all the chances to repent, to come back to you over and over and over again, Father. That is, I just pray that we can have the perseverance and the strength to continue to come back to you over and over and over again, to set ourselves aside and to have your love, your unconditional love, flow through us to everyone in our lives. We pray for the courage to share the good news about all that you have done in our lives, just as the Israelites reflected that day when they crossed the Jordan River into Jericho, into Canaan. They took time to reflect, to build that memorial of 12 stones to you. We pray that we can build our own memorials to you in our times of reflection and praise to you each and every day throughout the day. We thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, your only Son, to save us all. Jesus, thank you for being our Savior, for being willing to lay down your life for each and every one of us so that we may be washed clean and that we may receive eternal life in heaven. We thank you, Father. We say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that concludes our episode for today. Thank you so much for being here and for joining in today. I look forward to being with you in the next episode. Take care.